Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber Podcast. My name is Tony Groves and today we are talking inequality. We are back talking inequality because we never stop talking about inequality, do we, Martin?
No, because it's the basis of all wrongs, Tony.
Yeah, it's when you filter it down, whether it be housing, whether it be health, whether it be education, at the bottom of it all, it comes down to a lack of access for other people and a lack of availability. And we just know that that's just simply not the case. Look, I hate to do it. We have to plug it. Podcast, no ads, no sponsors, relies entirely on listener support. So it's patreon.com/tortoiseshack. And for that, there must be bloody hundreds of additional podcasts up there.
There is. I put them up once a week, Tony. We're doing, it's, you know, somewhere between 10 to 20 podcasts every week. We're almost a radio station at this stage.
Yeah, but what I would say is it's across. It's not, you don't just have to listen to my gob and Martin's gob. There's fantastic other podcasts on the network. Go check them out. Anyway, look, we are talking inequality and we're been joined on the podcast, rejoined by our friend in Unite, Brendan Ogle, a trade unionist, and we're joined for the first time by Breida O'Donoghue from the Travellers Visibility Group in Cork. Thanks guys for taking the time to talk to us.
Welcome, Tony. Martin.
Can I just start and say that the genesis of this is really a piece that you guys have put together and it's quite extensive. It's Hungry Bellies and it goes through what inequality does. Can you, Brendan, you might start off and explain to us why you put this together and why, you know, it's so, you didn't just like write a blog here. This is a lot more than just that. This is an answer to some of the myths that are out there.
Yes, Tony, a myth is a good word. It's one of the first words we use in the document. We've published a document yesterday. We'll be getting it out in hard copy. I have the hard copy here in my hand, just received this morning. And it's called Hungry Bellies Are Not Equal to Full Bellies. And I suppose it's a very relevant question. Why have we done it? And why have we done it now? We did it because of some media coverage we've seen, a few pieces, but particularly a piece in the Irish Times on the 5th of December 2020 by journalist Pat Leahy, where he puts it forward as fact. And that's the first thing that really caught us, as a fact and in an arguable fact that we weren't allowed to discuss anymore, that two things were happening. First of all, Ireland was getting better off economically and growing and all those economic miracles that we're used to. And also that not only were the rich getting richer, but inequality was falling as well. And Padley, he held that out as tantamount to an economic miracle. We were effectively the only country in the world where this was happening. It was Celtic Tiger all over again. We've broken the mold. We're showing the world how it's done. And to be honest with you, it came a few weeks before Christmas and it just didn't sit. We were engaged as we are with on an ongoing basis, a trade union with a political and a social focus as well. So we engage on an ongoing basis with a number of volunteers, charities, NGOs working in the area of economic inequality on the ground. People are out there every night of the week, every day of the week, giving people food, sleeping bags, helping them at homes, healthcare, mental health care, the whole range. And we're reading the Irish Times, what's going on here? So we've done two things. First of all, I contacted the Irish Times. We looked into the data that Pat Leahy had used, and it's from most of it comes from Seamus Coffey, yeah. I've never met Seamus, but I hope to be
He's been on this podcast several times.
Yeah, well, I hope to be talking to him soon. So we looked into that, and we got Dr. Conor McCabe to do a deep dive into the methodologies and the language that Seamus had been writing, because Seamus basically provided the material for Pat Leahy's piece, more or less. Now, Pat Leahy refers to the OECD, but even that comes from Seamus Coffey's reports. Even that interpretation of the OECD findings come from Seamus Coffey's report. So we looked into it. You know, we didn't just run out and print a document. That's not what we did. We contacted the Irish Times. We wanted to write a rebuttal piece. We found, why did we want to rebut it? Because it's not true. It is not true. Economic inequality in Ireland is very, very high and it's growing. Mm-hmm. So we wrote a rebuttal piece. We sent it to the Irish Times. You know, people aren't in their offices. Takes a little, sometimes we think they should get a quicker response. But a couple of weeks went by, nothing was happening. Eventually, the Irish Times did write to me and did offer me a piece, a space to write on inequality, but only on the basis that I wouldn't refer to Pat Leahy's article, which I thought was absolutely extraordinary. So instead of going down that road, we've gone down this road. We decided we'd ask Connor, expert in the field, to basically go through in huge detail the intellectual, academic, call it what you want. They're basically trying to intellectualize away inequality.
There's a couple of things that are crucial in this. The word inequality seems to mean several things, you know, and we've seen how it can mean economic inequality, income inequality, and actual inequality. So I'd like to ask Breda, when you see something like that, are you being asked to ignore the evidence of your own eyes, Breda, when you're working in frontline services trying to help people and you have to read something that says, no, we've never had it better, in effect, is what you've been told, but just pretend that you don't see the world 6 inches in front of your face?
Yeah, I suppose for me, I wasn't too surprised, but I was a bit disappointed that when I heard that both Leahy and Buttermer had been stating this as fact, you know, and I suppose the next feeling I got was amusement at the fact that they actually believe that this is true, you know, because if it is, we're certainly not saying it. I work in an organisation for over 30 years that's addressing inequalities within the Irish Travellers, you know, and we're certainly not seeing that on the ground. And I also work with projects right across the city who are addressing the same issues, and we're certainly not seeing that on the ground, you know. So there, as far as I'm concerned, there is no factual evidence to say that inequality is getting better in Ireland and that we're, for some reason or somehow, We're all equal, we're all the same. That's definitely not true from where we stand anyway.
Brandon, can I ask you, what was the result? When you crunched the numbers and looked at the data, what was the definitive result?
Well, first of all, the definitive result is that economic inequality, and Tony's right to point to the term, so let's be specific about the terms, economic inequality is rising. And economic inequality has seven, the task say it has seven, and we'll accept it, has seven aspects to it, and I'll quickly go through them. But basically what has happened in the Irish Times, and indeed in Leahy's and in Coffey's research, is they play with language. They start off generally referring to economic inequality, and very quickly they start talking about income inequality. Mm-hmm. And income inequality is just one of seven aspects of economic inequality. So to measure income inequality, they choose then, in terms of income inequality, only one of two available sources. There's the Gini coefficient, which I can go into. I can see you getting excited by that, Martin. We can go into as much detail on the Gini coefficient as you like. That's one area to pick. And the other area, of course, we have is income tax returns and what that says about incomes. You know, so we've two ways of measuring income inequality, one of seven areas. On the Gini coefficient, which is deeply flawed and which is accepted as by everybody as underreporting high incomes, there's a suggestion, and it is suggested as a fact that income inequality in Ireland is falling. But when we go into revenue returns, which measure everything, which measure everybody, which is universal, it shows income inequality is rising. So they pick the one that shows it falling, refer to that only, completely ignore the references to the others, and completely ignore the references to the other six areas of economic inequality as well. And the other six areas of economic inequality, Tony's referred to them, so we know what they are, but we might as well list them. The other six areas of income inequality referred to by task are, you know, we've got a healthcare system, we've got childcare, we've got the taxation system, we've got capacity, so our human capacity, disabilities, all that sort of stuff. So by picking only one of the seven things that need to be measured, and then picking only one of two ways of measuring it, they go from income inequality, then to talk about, they go from economic inequality, then to just focus on one area, and then to say, hey, presto, economic inequality is falling. It's a sleight of hand.
Well, the sleight of hand they use, Brem, the sleight of hand they use is they then use the phrase continuously, and Brady, you probably heard it several times where they say, well, we have a progressive taxation system and social transfers go, you know, filter out. So Brady, the people you're dealing with, look, sure, and to getting the 186 quid a week from the state that drags them out of poverty, you know, and that's the kind of line, the monetarial line that the research uses time and time again to say that this is how we face those inequalities, not just simple inequality. In terms of the numbers that say demand for your services, Brady, I'm assuming you've only just seen a spike in demand, never mind it getting better.
Absolutely. Look, we've been dealing with some horrendous issues down here in the city with regards to my own community. We're working with over 500 traveller families across the city, some of which are living in terrible conditions. Like if you take the general traveller population, there's probably 97% of us unemployed anyway, you know, and some of them are living in deplorable conditions. So the inequalities within the traveller community has been there from the get-go. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the inequalities that travellers are facing are state inequalities. You know, they've been there from day one, and they're the direct result of the state policies that are there with regards to the travel community. So I'm really, I'm really shocked to hear that there are just people actually singing from the pulpit saying that equality is level in Ireland now, you know, where we're not anywhere near seeing that type of equality within our community.
Rita, can I ask, is there any media outlet where you feel that the issues around poverty and the issues around equality are fairly reflected?
No, not right now. But we are at the minute talking to different media outlets. I mean, I suppose if you want to call a spade, any media coverage of travellers is always negative. Mm. You know, well, 99.9% of media coverage of travellers is always negative. But we are trying to talk with different media outlets at the minute to try and look at ways that the media could cover more positive stories about travellers. But when we talk about travellers and poverty, it tends to be turned around on us that we're too lazy to work, we're not interested in education, you know. And we're, again, I suppose that comes back to travellers then, like, we're talking about internalized shame here, where we actually are starting to believe, well, Jesus, it is our own fault because we don't have value in education and we don't have, we are lazy, you know, which is not the case at all. But I suppose with regards to the media, because they have such a strong influence now out there in the community. I mean, if you look at any study that's been done on travellers, and I suppose the most recent one, there was a behaviour and attitude study done on travellers about 2-3 years ago now. My God, the results were absolutely shocking. But I suppose what was even more shocking to my community was that we weren't shocked at all, you know. Yeah. So I suppose it's very difficult to deal with the media when sometimes all they are interested in is very negative issues or stories.
Well, one of the main things that gets missed out, and I want to focus specifically on travellers just for this little section, if you don't mind, because when they talk about social transfers and should we, you know, this provide, you know, payments for accommodation, payments for all of this, what they don't talk about is the fact that the vast majority of county councils send back their traveller budgets year after year. They spend a fraction of it and they don't actually do it. So even the funding that's there, They some of them will tell you off the record that some people don't want to spend it because it creates a pull factor. It'll mean travellers might get comfortable and they might get a bit of something and they might create a pull factor. So it's quite ugly and dehumanising, the language that's used. And it's actually racist. It's systemic racism.
Yeah, and that's the root of it. You know, you can talk about it all day long, but until you address the actual root of the problem is racism. I mean, every local authority across the country has a mandate to provide traveller-specific accommodation. And more often than not, that's never done. If you take Cork City alone, we have 4 traveller halting sites in the city. We have had for over 30 years. There has been no addition to traveller accommodation in this county, in this city, for over 30 years. Now, we've had two replacement sites that were over 30 years old, each site. They were replaced one family moving from one site into another, but no addition. And if you look at the travel accommodation program, every year the local authorities is meant to do a count to make provisions every 5 years to add or include traveler specific accommodation. That doesn't happen here in this city. It doesn't happen in the county. I suppose Cork City and County is probably the biggest sin, one of the biggest sinners in the case of sending back money or not drawing down money from local government to provide traveler specific accommodation. And I suppose the real hurt here is that money was never an issue anyway. In any of the areas across the country, money was never the issue. It was political from the get-go. It wasn't being drawn because nobody wanted a halt in sight in their area. And it became political. And until that issue is addressed, its traveller accommodation is never going to improve.
It was good politics, actually. We've a minister who used it as good politics to say it would be a waste of resources in her constituency, and it never did her any harm politically. Absolutely. Sorry, Martin, can I just ask Brendan one thing? Brendan, we need to come back to the report, and we need to also focus on some of the facts in the report. And the facts, actually, as someone, a nerd like me, understands them, one of the other things that they failed to mention was deprivation. And the fact that has been growing, you know, and when you point that out, they say, well, that's not included in how we measure things in the Gini coefficient. And yet we see the numbers of people living in deprivation. It's in the disabled community. It's a majority of people.
Well, look, it's about what's left out. It's first of all, it's about how Seamus Coffey and Pat Leahy interpret the false and misleading. Well, it's not false, but they very selectively interpret a very narrow range of data to fulfill what I'm going to say here is an ideological narrative. They're pushing an ideological narrative by the misuse of a narrow band of data, which is completely unfair. And they don't need to do it because if they didn't have that ideological depth, they wouldn't do it. In 2019, the CSO, how hard is it to find that? Put it into Google there. The CSO reported the deprivation rates had increased to 17.8%. The Irish CSO, you don't need to go off there to the Gini. You don't need to go off and compare it around the world. The Irish CSO showed the deprivation rates had increased with 7.8%. And what they absolutely failed to do, and this is why, you know, we've done the report really and listening to Breida there, they absolutely failed to marry their selective misuse of a narrow set of data with what's going on in the towns and cities and villages and communities that we live in. So it's for that reason that we have married Conor McCabe's quite brilliant, I have to say, and you know, Conor, quite brilliant delve into what they've done here with the real life lived experiences of Breeders Group, the Travel Visibility Group in Cork, with Spark, the Single Parents Acting for the Rights of Kids, Penny Dinners in Cork, with Inner City Helping Homeless, the Muslim Sisters of Era, and Bear Grogan's Basket Brigade, who provide Christmas hamper food relief to the most needy families and children over Christmas time. So we went to them all with the Irish Times article. We said, this is what they're saying. Will you give us testimonies and tell us, how do you react to this? And that's how we came in contact with Breida. And those testimonies, Brandon, are in there. And just Brandon, to give you some of the... Go on, Martin.
Yeah, I just want to ask you a question. Are you surprised, or do you think that there is an onus on the Irish Times not to be ideological?
Am I surprised? It's a bit like Breida said a moment ago that, you know, she was shocked at some of the research she's seen, but then she wasn't really shocked because she kind of knew anyway. Am I surprised? It has a yes or a no answer. I'm surprised at the gall of them. I'm surprised at the brass neck of them. These are the same sort of narrative that we pre the crash in 2008 was telling us all that the financial system, the fundamentals of the financial system, were sound and robust. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And everything was great. The central bank was great. Sean Fitzpatrick was a genius. Michael Fingleton was an expert in everything. We were leading the world. If you questioned him, Charlie McCreevy told you were a left-wing pinko. Alberti Ahern told you to commit suicide. There was only one narrative.
We saw that very clearly through the austerity period. And we've had guests on that actually did doctorates on this, and that was the narrative.
It was Martin, and then we were told, but, and then it all came crack. Then it all went wrong. The soft landing, you know, hit us with the force of a meteor crashing into the earth. That's the soft landing we got, right? And then there was a sort of an acceptance, but it was never written down, and we say that in the report. It was never sort of a social contract. We've all learned from this now. It won't happen again. And here we are again now, in a pandemic. And Pat Leahy points to this himself in his article on the 5th of December. He points to the huge cost that there is going to be for this pandemic in terms of money have to be repaid, the social transfers that have rightly taken place, the cost of vaccination, all of that. And because we know there's a huge bill coming, here we have the Irish Times telling us, you see, when it comes to the huge bill, deprivation, inequality, it's falling. And he actually names NGOs in the article. It's quite disgusting. He actually names NGOs who are out there flogging themselves to debt to help vulnerable people. He names trade unions. He targets public sector unions, the people who represent nurses, the people who represent firemen, the people who represent policemen, risking their lives for us every day with this virus. And he says, and he targets all of them as the naysayers. Because do you remember the naysayers in 2005 who said property values are going too high?
We do, Brendan.
But they're doing it again.
But my question really is, do you expect that those who read that in the Irish Times from Pat Leahy don't think that he's ideological? I mean, it's not an informational or an infomercial. It is propaganda is what it is. But I think that's what people who read Pat Leahy in the Irish Times
read. Can I come in? Because to use Seamus Coffey's own quote that he used in his paper about falling inequality, he said people are, they're entitled to their opinions, but they're not entitled to their own facts. True. I do remember rebutting it myself. And, we've had Seamus on the podcast, and then he comes away and he says, yeah, well, we just don't measure deprivation. So, we measure, this is what I work with, these numbers over here. Don't bring your numbers over here. They actually muddy the waters.
What he means, Tony, the only person who thinks he's entitled to his own facts is Seamus Coffey. Because what Seamus Coffey is doing is constructing his own facts. He's picking the bits that people spend money on. He's picking rent. He's picking childcare. He's picking transport. He's taking utility bills. He's taking the cost of education. He's taking the tax system. He's taking inequality. He's taking the healthcare costs. He's stripping them all away out of it to give him a fact. So Seamus Coffey, when Seamus Coffey says people aren't entitled to their own facts, what Seamus Coffey means is, I, Seamus Coffey, am the only person entitled to my own facts. That's what Seamus Coffey says. And then Pat Leahy lifts that and puts it in the Irish Times. And I have no difficulty with Pat Leahy or any journalist having an ideological dent. But when I write to the Irish Times, not to Pat Leahy, I didn't write to Pat Leahy. I wrote to the editor of the Irish Times on behalf of a trade union, one of the largest trade unions in Ireland, that represents low, medium and some well-paid workers, that's working with these charities on an ongoing basis. And I asked the Irish Times to carry a rebuttal piece. And they specifically said, in writing, this wasn't a phone call, by the way, in writing, they told me, don't be criticising Pat Leahy's piece on the 5th of December. And this is not an ideologically owned. This is not something that's owned by Rupert Murdoch or something that's owned by Dennis O'Brien. It's the Irish Times. So if the people of Ireland can't trust the Irish Times to tell them the truth on deprivation inequality.
Well, what he did, and Breda, you'd know this because he's in your city. He stood up in the Shannon, but Jerry Buttermer, and said, quoted from the piece that, and more or less said, well, the left are all, would let you, want you thinking that, we're living in a terrible time, but we've never had it better. And then he quoted from the article. And to Brendan's point, that gives credence to Seamus Coffey, and it begins, the myth becomes established, and then it takes root, and then it becomes, it's then recorded in our parliament. How did that make you feel when Jerry Buttermer of your parish stood up and said, we've never had it so good?
Made me feel very angry, Tony, to be honest. I mean, Buttermer is very, very much aware of the situation for travellers here in the city. He's very much aware that we have over 50 families living on a 10-bay site with no running water, no electricity, no toilets, He's very much aware that traveller children have to use the library in the winter time to do their homework because they have no electricity at home. He's very much aware of all those facts. He's very much aware that that mental health is rampant within the traveller community, that our suicide rate is 7 times higher than the national average, and that we're only 1% of the whole population. He's very much aware of that our children fare very poorly across the education system. He's very much aware of all the different facts concerning travellers. And I'm not just speaking about travellers, but I'm here representing travellers. He's very much aware of all those issues. So I'm very shocked, very disappointed to hear that Butterman stood up and stood over those facts when he knows the difference.
Brandon, just going to throw a spin at you on this one. Do you consider that to be fake news? Would it fall under the heading of fake news for you?
I consider it to be authoritarian. I consider when the Irish Times prints as fact and states as fact that inequality is falling, it is a fact, and then goes on to diss all of those working with people suffering from inequality and then seeks to prevent any further discussion on it. That's authoritarian in nature. That's what that is. So it's beyond spin. It's nasty. It's aimed and targeted, not at the richest or those who can bear these attacks. It's aimed and targeted at not only the most vulnerable people in our society, but those who advocate and help them. Mm-hmm. It's aimed at Social Justice Ireland. It's aimed at Focus. It's aimed at the Simon community. It's aimed at inner city helping homeless. And Breida is absolutely right to speak up about the rights of travellers and the alienation of travellers. And she's also right to point out that she's working with other groups as well. You know, to quote the name of the report is "Hungry Bellies Are Not Equal to Full Bellies." That came from another Cork woman, another neighbour of Jerry Buttermer's, Katrina Toomey from Penny Dinners Cork, up the road from Jerry Buttermer. And when we talked to Katrina Toomey and said, is inequality falling, Katrina? Katrina gave us some quotes as well. For example, she pointed out to us that she sees what she calls the trauma, and that's the word she used because we didn't point any leading questions. Mm-hmm. The trauma of 450 to 500 people that comes to her door looking for food every single day. How dare Jerry Buttermer stand up in the Shannon and say, we've never had it so good? How dare he? He needs to meet Katrina Toomey. He needs to go to Penny Dinners Cork. He needs to meet Breida O'Donoghue. And he needs to go and meet travellers. And he needs to meet the people in his constituency who are suffering. And then he needs to apologise to them. How bloody dare he? And how dare the Irish Times provide a platform for that sort of political narrative, which is aimed at protecting the super rich in this society and sowing an underclass or people who they will treat as an underclass. They did it before and they're doing it again. And Jerry Buttermer needs to apologise and go and meet the people in his own constituency who are suffering and do something about it. That's what Jerry Buttermer needs to do.
And an article like that has a chilling effect, Brandon, on those Absolutely. Who do advocate. Those who advocate, they're told then in meetings or when they try and lobby, they are told, there's that Pat Leahy article, you're wrong.
Well, no, so, what it establishes is a well-tried trope of what they call, it's called TINA, isn't it? There's no alternative.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, so it's the usual stuff of like what we heard about when we came out of the global financial crisis. Sure, austerity is the only way out. You know, we have to make things worse for you and everybody else to dig our way out. But I know, look, both of you have spoken very passionately about it, but I want to be very clear on this. Again, going back to the facts, 34.5% of renters live in deprivation. Yeah. You know, and I want to point out also, the most recent data we have on this is 2019. So this was happening while Ireland was the fastest growing economy in the world. Deprivation was growing. It was up from 27% to 34.4%. 18% of people experience enforced deprivation, and people with disabilities have a deprivation rate of over 43%. You're talking about an increase of 143,000 people from 2018 to 2019 before we hit a global pandemic. And they had the temerity pre-Christmas to write, things have never had it as better. So I just, again, how do we break through though, Brendan? If they're not willing to publish it, how do we get the message out there? Because, you know, we're doing it on this podcast, but we are just a podcast.
Well, look, first of all, Yes, you are just a podcast, but you're not just a podcast now, Tony. You're great. Don't be putting yourself down. But look, at median rents, rents in Dublin are between 48% and 68% of the median wage. That's the reality. And that's pre-COVID. You know, when people sit down to read this document, I have 700 copies of this document, actually actual hard copies of this, sitting down on a desk in my office, which are about to be posted to every TD, every senator, every NGO, every media outlet, and every other trade union in the country. And I have to say, we've been really pleased. The first thing I got yesterday morning, within an hour of the report being just sent out digitally, was an email from Social Justice Ireland welcoming the fact that the report had gone out and looking to engage with us and identifying the fact, welcoming the fact that this false narrative, and they use that term, that this false narrative was being created. Patrick Conaghan, former governor, also has written about this in recent weeks. You know, TASC wrote a letter to the Irish Times. It was a letter, could have been more detailed, but they wrote a letter. You know, Sinn Féin have written an article on our report last night. We're sending it to all politicians. We're going to be talking to the Jed Nash of the Labour Party about it next week. We're going to have it raised in the Dáil. We're going to have it raised in the Shannon. Unfortunately, there's not, and I have to say this, I know some great journalists. I have some friends who are great journalists. I do actually have some people who I consider friends who are great journalists, but they're in a minority. They're in a small minority. And unfortunately, we don't have, you know, a media outlet that'll just, you know, give us this. But I was on Matt Cooper's show last night, and the work, the advocacy of the six groups, including Breeders Group, they all have their own networks. There'll be a number of other podcasts, Tony. So unfortunately, you're great, but you're not unique. So we'll be talking on a few other podcasts in the next while. I think I'm going to be doing a podcast on The Examiner with Seamus Coffey himself, and I'm looking forward to that. Another thing you'll see, we'll send you a copy of the hard copy. It's easier to read. A lot of the data presented to upholster the Irish Times article in December was data from the Celtic Tiger era. It was data that ran out in 2008. So I was speaking to Dr. Kathleen Lynch from UCD the other day on the phone about it. And she was saying to me that a big problem we have in Ireland is we don't have the data. There's nobody doing the research that they do in Sweden, they do in Germany, they do in France, specific to our needs. So what people do is they're picking little bits of it and cobbling it together to suit their own narrative. On Monday night, and I hope you won't mind me plugging it here, on Monday night, Unite will be hosting an online event, which Vincent Brown will actually be doing it for us. So Vincent is going to host the conversation. Dr. Kathleen Lynch will be on it with him.
He won't let you get away with these rants when Vincent's there.
I'm not planning for that reason. So it'll be Vincent talking to the people who are on the front line helping. People talk from inner city helping homeless. Fail Grogan will be on it from Basket Brigade. And look, we're doing our best. I wish we had a progressive media. I wish we had a pluralist media that would cover things, but it's ideological in nature. But we're doing our best. And look, I'm quite confident that the people like Breda telling the truth in their communities every day of the week. You know, it is only spin, Martin.
Well, I think, Brendan, we all know that whatever you read in the paper, you walk out and you trip over somebody who's living in deprivation. Yeah. So, you know, the words don't match the experience, and that's everybody's experience. No matter which part of the strata you're on, you still have to walk down Grafton Street. You still have to go down the north side of Cork. You know, it's there. It's in front of you. I think you're doing good work on this again, Brendan. And I think that inequality, as I said at the beginning, is the root of all problems in Ireland. It is absolutely at the root of it.
Last thing, Breda, in terms of this, the people you work with and how this sort of stuff how political education, I suppose, is a piece that we try to talk about and trying to get people active. It's difficult. It's impossible nearly under COVID. But as part of this, you know, we need to get people active and actually able to educate them to answer those questions, to be able to see, call it out. Is there a space you feel that in terms of the traveller activism that you guys do, traveller visibility, that can be more, you know, that first of all, our listeners can help or get engaged with or spaces that people can actually get some more resources from?
Yeah, well, I suppose, look, we need to definitely certainly challenge the false sense of security that the likes of Buttermer and Healy are trying to present to the country. And we're a local organisation, but we're linked very closely to our national organisations also. And we have a very strong link with all the other community development projects across the city. And we have been working tirelessly as well, trying to create platforms where we're trying to get these issues addressed as well for not only but for our community, but for all the communities that are involved in this. And look, if people, my fear is, like you said, I know you're saying that people will read the newspapers and come out and trip over somebody. Unfortunately for my community, that's not always the case. Sometimes when people read the newspaper and read an article about travellers, they believe it. That's their foundation of what they know about travellers, you know, and it's very dangerous. It sets us back in our work years. We could be years trying to build up relationships and alliances with communities and with individuals, and they see something in the media and it's portrayed and it's blown out of proportion and it's portrayed in a negative way. It sets us back. And this type of stuff from Leahy and Buttermer sets our work back, you know, and it does make it more difficult for us to address the issues or to look for support in these areas. But I suppose, like what I'm saying is, I suppose through our links, we will be trying to get this information out as much as possible. We have a traveller cultural awareness team in our project that delivers training on traveller cultural awareness training and also tries to raise awareness around these issues. And also, I've been to the Shannon myself. I've done a presentation there in the Oireachtas twice at this stage, highlighting traveller issues. But and not just that traveller issues. I try to be as inclusive as possible about all issues around the country. So hopefully just trying to keep on top of that and
going. Rita and Brandon, thank you so much for coming on and having this talk with us this morning. It's worthy work. And I know, Brandon, it's often, and Rita, it's often thankless work. But, you know, we thank you for the work you're doing. So thanks very much for coming on and having this chat with us.
Quick reminder, we will be live on Sunday for our weekly catch-up of the events of the week. The Tortoise Shack hosts, various hosts, join us for a live podcast. And if you are a member of patreon.com/tortoiseshack, the link is available now. So register, come along. And we always have a bit of fun. It can be a bit heavy, but we always have a bit of fun. Thanks for the support. Talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber Podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.